There was about 40, 50 members there at the time. And everybody was used to singing really slow. And he come in and put the, it's more like what we're playing now. Boy, he had the piano player and the song leader all upset. Congregation, they didn't know what to do. Finally caught on, but sugar. You don't realize how slow you're singing until you got music playing. Yeah. We ready? If you would turn to Micah in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, chapter 5. My wife's laughing about something, but I don't know what it is. My hair sticking up or something? Or it's another one of them sermons that the Lord put some thoughts in my mind, and I have no idea why. Maybe it's for somebody else out there. It's a good study, don't get me wrong. And I've learned from it already from studying it. But it's more of a reminder, I guess, to us on some things. Our conference coming up in a few months is going to be over the Lord's church, and some of these things may be brought out then. I don't know for sure. I don't know what to... We assign subjects, but I don't know what each man's going to be... what his sermon's going to be. I don't write their outlines for them. But talking about things to come, and in particular for Israel, we're going to look at some things that... if you listen to a lot of people in the religious world today, they think these things are for the church, and they're not. The scripture is clear who they're for. And we're going to be in Micah. We're going to turn over to Revelation here in a little bit and compare some notes. This is one of those things that's kind of sort of a topical message and kind of sort of a expository at the same time, because you can't get all the answer to this in one chapter or one book. You have to go to some other places. So, in Micah chapter 5, and of course Micah is one of the minor prophets, is what we call them, because not because that what they had to say was minor, but because they're just short books. They're not very long. But all the minor prophets, if you've ever taken time to study through them, are full of good stuff. And a lot of it is, you know, we studied a few years ago through the book of Jeremiah. We looked through Lamentations and Ezekiel and Daniel and those places. Ezra. And a lot of what we see in the minor prophets is dealing with the same time period or close to the same time period as those prophets did in much bigger books. tonight we want to look at things to come. And if we start in verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel." Of course, we see in verse 2, the beginning of verse 2, we see the name Bethlehem. And we all know that name very well. That's the city where our Lord's earthly birth took place. You go to the New Testament in Matthew and in Luke, you see that recorded there. And I'm not going to turn there for this study. But it says, "Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah." Bethlehem was not a very big place. Not in their day. I believe, if I remember correctly, today Bethlehem is in control, is controlled by the Palestinians, if I remember right. Because I seem like I remember seeing something this past December where I guess the so-called Church of the Immaculate Conception that's over there, or Immaculate Birth, or whatever they call it that's over there, where they claim they built a church over where they think the manger scene was. That's another way for the Catholics to pollute everything that has ever been. But they put built a church and a shrine, basically is what it is, over that. And this past year was the first time in several years that the so-called Christians were allowed back in there to worship. The Muslims had kicked them out for a time. And I don't know the story behind that. I just remember seeing that in the news. But that's Bethlehem. It was a small place in their day. Remember, it was where Joseph, Mary's espoused husband, was where his family was from. Now, we see here it says, "Yet out of these shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." Remember, after the captivity, Israel never had a true king of the line of David anyway. You know, we know Herod was their king there in Jesus' day, and there was a whole line of Herods, family that went by that name, that would become kings, so-called kings. They were more puppet kings of Rome than anything. They weren't from the lineage of David. But Israel never had another king after that, and they still don't. They have a prime minister and a parliament today, the Israel that's there now. But this one that he talks about here, he's going to set out of Bethlehem. Shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel? What's he talking about here? Well, we know he's talking about Christ. There's no other one it could be. He's going to come out of Bethlehem. In other words, he's born in Bethlehem. It's not where he stayed, of course. His family moved to Nazareth eventually. He was a Nazarene, not a Nazarite, but a Nazarene. And was raised in Nazareth. He says, "Comes forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." How did he go to God? Remember the ascension? When after his death and burial and resurrection, he ascended back to his Father. And then he says, "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Again, it has to be Christ, because who else has been around since this is his goings, in other words, his being around has been from of old and from everlasting. In other words, for eternity past, he's always been. And in verse 3, he says, "Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel." Now, some try to throw the church in here on this. I don't believe it fits. "There will he give them up." In other words, he gave up on them. Didn't our Lord give up on the Jews to a point? I mean, of course, we realize that the first members of the first church were Jews. Matter of fact, the first several thousand were probably Jews. It wasn't until Peter and Paul got to preaching to the Gentiles that you get to see Gentiles saved. But as far as Israel itself, he gave up on them. They turned their backs on him, remember? They were the ones, remember what Peter said in his sermon on the day of Pentecost? He told them that they were the ones that killed him. So the Lord gave up on them. And if you remember back in our studies in the Old Testament, especially in Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah several times, and Ezekiel too, from what I remember, in Ezekiel both, in Jeremiah, he told them, he turned his back on Israel. He sent Nebuchadnezzar in there to basically to slaughter them and to punish them. It was part of God's chastisement on his people. And they were taken into captivity for 70 years, all according to exactly the prophecy that God gave to those prophets to tell them. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. They were in captivity for 70 years. And God turned his back on them during that time. Remember Ezekiel, when the elders from Israel came to Ezekiel when he was beside the river and wanted to talk to God, but they even knew that God had turned his back to them and wouldn't hear them. So they went to Ezekiel and begged Ezekiel to speak to God for them. And Ezekiel did, and God told Ezekiel, I'm not going to listen to them. I won't hear them, but I'll hear you. You know, I'll hear what you, they can come talk to you, and then I'll hear what you got to say, but I'm not listening to them. All because of their turning their backs on God. And now this, until the time that she which travaileth have brought forth. What is he talking about here? Something about a woman having a child, is he not? That's what that travaileth means. If you turn over to Revelation chapter 12, and there's some other places we could go to, but we're going to concentrate on Revelation chapter 12 for now. And verses 1 through 6, this is speaking of the woman and the dragon, if you remember. And chapter 12, verse 1, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. Now remember, Christ has already been born. He's already died, been buried, resurrected, and ascended. So this is not Mary. Some will say that, well, this is a picture of Mary. The Catholics claim that. They claim that this is Mary here about to give birth to Christ. But remember, John's talking about future things. Christ has already come and gone, and even already come back for his bride by this time. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Now, let me back up, because this part of it, we are talking about Christ. If you remember, she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That can only be Christ. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Speaking of Christ when he ascended. If you remember, the devil, Satan, he says, the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember Herod tried to have Christ put to death? And it didn't work. Now, he says, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her that they should feed her there 1,200 and 80 days. So that's 3.5 years that she's going to be taken care of. She's going to flee into the wilderness. Did Mary flee into the wilderness for 3.5 years? Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 7 and 8. Before she travailed, she brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. She will travail after, she says, after she brings forth the man-child. You see that? Before her pain came, she was delivered of the man-child. She had the, before she travailed, she was delivered of the man-child. Now, this is speaking of Israel. He was born before Israel travailed. The woman that we're speaking of is Israel. She is going to, it's Israel from which comes, which Christ came from, in the flesh. In Romans 9. Romans 9, verses 3 through 5. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So Christ came out of Israel. Israel gave birth to Christ, and from what we read in Isaiah 66, that happened before the woman travailed, before her pains. And speaking of Israel, she will travail during the last 3 years of the tribulation. What happens in the last 3 years of the tribulation? Remember the Brother Doug told us the other day in Sunday school, the two prophets are going to be, they're going to die in the middle of the tribulation after they've preached the gospel. And we're going to be seeing a nation saved in a day, speaking of Israel. And the Lord's going to hide Israel for 3.5 years in the wilderness, to protect them from what's going on in the world at that time. There's going to be a remnant out of Israel that's going to be saved. They're going to be taken to the wilderness and protected by the Lord. Back in Revelation 12, in verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time, from the face of the serpent. So Satan's going to begin to persecute Israel. Why? Because they're God's people. And he's not talking about the secular nation of Israel. He's talking about the remnant, the ones who have been saved during that time. He says they're going to be given two wings of a great eagle, and that she can fly into the wilderness. She's going to go into the wilderness in hiding. Remember, and we think, well, you know, how is that possible? Remember, in the Old Testament, the Lord took care of Moses and several million people in the wilderness for the first time, 40 years, and then again for another 40 years before they were allowed to enter the land of promise. They're going to be taken care of. And notice, God is the one who takes care of her. He takes care for 3.5 years in the wilderness. In that day, those of Satan and his fallen angels, they're going to try their best to destroy all of God's elect that are on the earth at that time. It's not going to work, though. God's going to protect them. They're going to be persecuted. We know that in the beginning, but at some point, at the beginning of that last 3.5 years, the Lord's going to provide a way for them to go to the wilderness and hide out until the end. One of the things I wanted to point out here in this little short study, and I know we've kind of rushed through all this, but you notice that the church is never mentioned. What if you believe in something other than a pre-trib rapture? Where's the Lord's church? Are they not God's elect? Certainly they are. And if they were to survive into the tribulation, where are they? There's no mention. If you read through Revelation, if you read through the prophets, you read through some of the men who wrote the New Testament, spoke of the end times, the tribulation. Nowhere is the Lord's church mentioned. And yet we have men today, men who read from the same Bible we do, and the same King James Version, and for whatever reason they think that there's either going to come a mid-trib rapture, and some will say, well, that's what's happened here, that the church is pulled out before all this happens. Well, yeah, about 3.5 years before it happens, to be honest. There are those, the one that I really don't understand is the post-trib rapture, because the church is not there at all during the tribulation. Only Israel, or just the remnant of Israel, is mentioned here. The bridegroom has already come for his bride and took her out. So, I know it's kind of short, but that's kind of just my thoughts on this for tonight. So we'll stop there for now.